Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for January 11th, 2019.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrim. What a delight it is to be with you on this Friday morning here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the last couple of podcasts, I've been thinking that as we went into this new year, that it was good to go over some of the basics once again. What is the problem of man? And we talked about Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and how sin affected every portion of human life and living. And what was God's solution? And that's the story of the Old Testament and the bringing forth of the people of God, Israel. And then we talked a little bit about church history and Constantine and what happened during that time. And then I ended up last week talking about asking, seeking, and knocking, and how we have to continue and perseverance. So as I began to think more about where we want to go, I thought, you know, it'd be good to look at one of the early churches again, because really, has much really changed in terms of the human situation? Yes, there's been lots of technological advances, and some old myths have been proven untrue, and we've got new insights into some things, but the nature of the heart of man doesn't seem to have changed much, and the problem of in the hearts of men is somewhat the same as it's always been, whether we're pushing a camel across the desert or driving down the bypass here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The problems of humanity are somewhat the same. We found out that accumulation of a lot of stuff doesn't really satisfy. There's got to be something far deeper, something deeper in our heart that satisfies an unknowing part of us. I say unknowing because it's something that God planted in us that we have the privilege of discovering together as we grow in the Lord and in His mercy and grace and as He teaches us and draws us more into our calling in God. One of the things that I've said so many times is quoting from that third chapter of Philippians. I've said it so many times, but let me say it again. That I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Not that I've already laid hold of it, but that I want to lay hold of that. And I've called it the that of God, that God has put in every single one of us. And we are truly restless in our hearts, our souls, and in our minds until the Holy Spirit begins to explode within us that of God. And it's different for each one of us, and yet, in the same breath, I want to say it's the same, because it's the same Spirit. It comes forth from the preaching of the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of that kingdom. So as we go into this year, 2019, I thought I'd pick it up in the New Testament, going through some of the verses in the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. So I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I just ask you to kind of bear with me, because I think I'm after something that was as true with the Corinthians is as true with us today. That's one of the things that Scripture is so beautiful about. One of the ways we know that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon and within it, is that it doesn't seem old anymore. Perhaps some of the language and some of the customs seem old, but the problems are the same. So I'm going to begin to read in the fourth verse, or excuse me, the third verse of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I read that because most of you are familiar with the epistle to Corinth, and Corinth was a fleshly city, and it was a place, you know, where all of the fun seekers of the day would go, kind of like New Testament Las Vegas, where people went to play and did things that weren't necessarily the sweetest things you could do on earth. But they were a fleshly people, and yet God calls them saints through the Apostle Paul. With as many problems as they've had, yet God calls them saints through the Apostle. So I'm going to pick it up in the 11th verse now, the same chapter. He says, I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Does that sound familiar? No, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, well, except Crispus and Gaius, and that no man should say you were baptized in my name. Oh, now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. My point is that denominationalism has taken over the Christian faith, and I talked a little about that in my last podcast, and I talked about a brochure that I read many, many years ago. It was a prayer saying, forgive us our denominating against one another. Some of the simplest things have separated one group of people from another, yet all in the name of Christ, and it sounds so familiar. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Cephas. Well, I'm of Christ. Has really much changed in close to 2,000 years. The church is still somewhat divided, and there are people out there in the world that look at the church and say, I heard that you had a really wonderful, loving message, but why are there this church, this church, this church, and this church, and you two don't even get together? You don't even spend any time together. And you somehow seem to always be suspicious one of another. That's because of the fleshliness that's still in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on to say, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made voice. I want to read that again. I can recall early reading this and saying, my, does he realize what he's saying? He wants to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech. In other words, he's not trying to entice people with the cleverness of his ability to use language, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I can recall that in our own lives, that we really felt that this gospel of Jesus Christ was kind of foolish until we realized something that came from the Holy Spirit. We read about it, of course, in the third chapter of John, when it said we must be born anew from another realm outside of ourselves, and that the faith to believe and to receive and to understand is a gift of Almighty God, so that those who are perishing, it says, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. That's just where we were. But then when we were saved, it became the power of God. For it is written in the Old Testament through one of the prophets, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. What an interesting thing to say to the Corinthian church, so to the playground of that era in human history. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I've often thought, when I listen to some of the people in colleges and universities and seminaries and churches, some wise people, I really wonder, where is the source of their wisdom? I read through the book of Proverbs and know that there is a great wisdom that is a gift from Almighty God that He wishes to give every true believer. Wisdom from God that is not only for now, but for forever. And that you and I who are called into the kingdom of God want to live on that knowledge, that wisdom that comes from Almighty God. The wisdom of God. But Paul asks the same question that needs to be asked today. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I think of some of the things going on today politically, educationally, relationally, morally in our culture and in our society, and I begin to ask, where's the wisdom that we supposedly have gained gone? Marriages, close to 60%, are ending in divorce. And second marriages, 80% are ending in divorce. Think of the multitude of children that come out of those marriages confused, wondering, what am I here for? The suicide rates are increasing. It's a terrible thing to have to say. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God's wisdom can withstand the difficulties, the exigencies of life, the questions and the difficulties that we face as human beings. His wisdom is eternal. He says, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. In other words, you can't figure God out. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. When I read that, I often remember in the first chapter of the book of Romans, I'm just going to turn over to it very quickly because it says it so beautifully, and I don't want to miss it. In Romans, excuse me, went the wrong way. Romans is back to the left and not to the right. But he says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts in impurity, for they dishonored their their bodies among them. The point simply being that the wisdom of the world had not led to knowing God. Yet the simplicity of the creation, all you had to do was look at it and realize that didn't just happen. It just doesn't say one day a big bang came. And I still hear from people, well, you know, this universe just started with a big bang. And I want to say, well, okay, but I think the big bang was rather the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, in the beginning, God created. And that comes from outside of us. And he goes on and he says, Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block and Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. As I read those verses, and I read them oftentimes, just to bring to my memory that what the world calls wisdom can be very seductive, because one can sound very clever, very profound, and yet when you look at the fruit of the life of those who are saying some of those things, my, oh my, I sure don't want the way that they end up. And yet, as the scriptures would tell us in the book of Acts and other places, the Pharisees and the scribes and the educated people of that day said, where did you guys get all this wisdom? Where did you get all this insight and knowledge? You didn't go to school. You don't have a degree with our stamp upon it. How did you get these revelations? It came from the foolishness of the gospel preached, and we were humble enough to receive it. I go back to the kingdom of God that we've talked about on so many, many occasions. The beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize they don't know or understand and are at a point of humble enough to receive, and theirs is, present tense, the kingdom of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he says this to that Corinthian group, for consider your calling, brethren. There are not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's much of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to be stopping there today. I'll probably go on tomorrow and in our Monday podcast, but I want to say once again that reading this first chapter makes me realize God isn't saying, Tom, you've got to get real smart first and figure things out. No, he's saying you've got to humble yourself, look at the creation, and just begin to ask the questions that come out of humility. God, how did you do that? Remember George Washington Carver, the beautiful story that's told so many different ways about him when he says, Mr. Creator, how did you create the universe? And he said, son, that's just too big for you. Well, Mr. Creator, how did you create the earth? That's still too big for you. And several other things he asks, and finally he gets down to the peanut. You remember the story? And he said, son, that's just about your size. And out of that peanut, George Washington Carver saved the South, because cotton had drained the fields dry, but the peanut grew again and became a lifesaver to the South. My point is, I'm saying, Mr. Creator, show me what I need to know. Let me humble myself under your hand. and be glorified by your Spirit. May I have the wisdom of God, the righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, for I don't want to boast in anything but you, Lord Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, pilgrim, I just ask that God bless you today. And as you go back and read the scriptures with me, which I intend to do in the future, more of the scripture, inviting the Holy Spirit to blow upon it and make it life within us, and to teach us and give us true, godly wisdom that is eternal, the wisdom of the kingdom of God, the unchangeable kingdom, and the unchanging God, man, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and King. May He bless you as you return to the Scriptures this year with me, and I with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.